This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. All praise is certainly due to Allah the Exalted. We praise Him. We seek His help, His guidance, and His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evils of our sins and the evils within ourselves. Whomsoever Allah guides because they seek guidance, none can misguide. And whomever He rightfully causes to be led astray because they do not truly seek guidance, none can guide. I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah alone. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, peace be upon him, is his servant and final messenger. Allah the Exalted reminds us for our own benefit what is translated as, O you who believe, O believers, be conscious of Allah as He deserves, and do not die except in a state of worship. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us consistent upon worshipping Him and allow us to die in a state of worship. Allah reminds us, O you who believe, be conscious of Allah, and let every one of you look forward, plan ahead, look for tomorrow, for what you have sent forward for your afterlife. And be conscious of Allah. Verily, Allah is aware of all that you do. I want to begin my khutbah today with an address, a reminder for us and for our brothers and sisters around the world as well. Those who are dealing with different types of fluctuating and volatile oppressions in France, in Syria, in East Turkestan, at the hands of the oppressors, the Chinese government. Those who are dealing with oppressions in Palestine, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieve them of that and liberate the lands of oppressors. And those who are dealing with oppression all around the world, because the list is exhaustive. The list itself would take the majority of the khutbah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieve our brothers and sisters in every land and in every place. Allahumma ameen. The attacks on Islam and the oppression of Muslims, especially when they are a minority in a place, are not a new thing. This is not new. Attacks against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are not new. And when we look back to literally the beginning of prophethood, we find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his followers were harassed. They were insulted. They were mocked. At some point now, they began to attack the Muslims as well, and they were very few in number. And when they began to increase these attacks, insults, harassment, some of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were expelled from their lands. Some had to flee. They had to migrate even before the migration to Medina. And some people likewise today are mocked, harassed, killed, and expelled from their families and from their lands simply for saying La ilaha illallah. Simply for being believers. الَّذِينَ أُخْرِجُوا مِن دِيَارِهِم بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ إِلَّا أَن يَقُولُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهِ. And as we reflect on those times, we find that at times the violence increased to the point that some of the companions were killed for being Muslims. They refused to give up their faith. May Allah accept them as shuhada. And likewise today, some people are killed simply for being Muslim. May Allah accept them also as shuhada. This is the reality of the world that we are in. And this is not something realistically that we can assume will disappear altogether overnight. Because throughout history, this is something that people have experienced in different lands and times and places. If you fast forward from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the 17th and 18th century, what some historians like to call the Age of Enlightenment in Europe, and in fact, a more suitable name when you study the changing morality, actually the loss of morality, and the replacement of God with this world, and the replacement of the hereafter with one's own desires, you find that a more suitable name for the age of enlightenment in Europe, and especially in France as well, is the age of darkness. Why? Because the measuring stick is not about scientific progress. It is not about philosophy. The measuring stick is the moral reference point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. So when we look to what is happening in the world today, with the rise of secularism, it is extremely important for all Muslims to know, young and old, men and women, and especially our youth have to remember this, that the age of modernity, the 17th century, was first of all born in violence, born with imperialism, born with conflict, and number two, it gave rise to many other movements, specifically atheism and many offshoots of this type of ideology. What do we mean by this? What shifted in society was a focus that replaced God with society, with human beings, with individualism, the human condition. A replacement in the public sphere of everything that reminded people about the sacred, about God, about the divine reality. A replacement of that with worldly entertainment. A replacement of a shift of a focus from the hereafter, a place where we are all headed, regardless of who we are, with a focus on this world, al-nafs, al-hawa, al-dunya. And this replacement is what gave rise to many movements that we see today, and many strands within many movements as well, trying to seek out and facilitate and propagate certain values that are born on and established upon secular worldviews. And that is why people are calling for their own individual selves. That is why in many Western nations, like the United States and like many European countries, all thought and all politics and all philosophy is gearing towards what? Individualism and liberalism. That it is all about what I want and my desires and what I think is right, regardless of the social effect, regardless of the impact on the world, regardless of such and such. And the greatest irony for Muslims who have not seen this yet, for many young Muslims who are involved in activism and politics, and especially progressive politics, is that they don't realize that this philosophy does not include Muslims in many ways. And I say this knowing the effects of what I am saying, that it is not a specific ideology or political party or movement that is inclusive altogether of Islam. Meaning what? It claims to be liberal, it claims to involve all people, but when it comes to the actual implementation of rights and respect towards all people, Muslims and others of religious values are not allowed to speak, are suppressed, are considered backwards, are considered pre-modern or archaic, primitive, violent, portrayed as extremist. When in reality, you look at the modern world today, you look at the age of enlightenment, the age of darkness, and all that it has given birth to. You look at the last 100 years, and these are the last 100 years of a track record in terms of observation of the age of secularism. And what do you find? For example, you find two of the worst wars in history, greatest casualties in history, World War I and World War II, with 15 million and 85 million people killed, respectively. That was not fought for religious reasons. You look at the immorality that causes divisions in society. You look at the corporate greed in many nations. You look at how people use politics to control their nations and their lands and to divide between people, Muslims and others. And we find that people have lost their moral compass. Is that what we're looking for? Is that what we're advocating for? Is that really going to give us the proper success and harmony in this world and harmony in the next life as well? When we see the attacks against Muslims, as we explore the age of secularism and the age of darkness, we realize that throughout history, Muslims were not always in this position. All of us here and everyone who is listening to this, we were born in a times in which the Muslim Ummah is not at its highest point. This is the reality. These are the circumstances you were given. We were all given. And you look back at history and you find when there's a dip, when Muslims lost some of that edge, some of that power, when they were attacked and oppressed worldwide as we are today in many places, what gave Muslims the ability to rise once again, to a place of security, a place of safety, a place in which they felt that they were not oppressed simply for saying La ilaha illallah, obviously by Allah's will. It is that when there was a dip in history, it took a group of Muslims, collective effort, united hearts, to strategize, to work with one another, to look beyond the current phase of where we are, to look to something better, and to work towards it. And that cannot happen if Muslims are passive. That cannot happen if we simply sit and watch and complain. This is the world that we are in today. You will not be questioned about the circumstances given to you, but you will be questioned about what you did about it, what you did with it. And as we observe the changes in history, we emphasize that number one, great patience is required. فَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ. Be patient with the decree of your Lord. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Seek help in patience, perseverance, and prayer. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah is with those who persevere. And then in addition to this, to have great vision and strategy, look beyond just today. Because we have all around the world many things that are happening, and it's not only affecting Muslims. We have the elections coming up in this country here, and the potential repercussions of that. We have many things happening in many Muslim majority lands. We have incidents that are happening in East Turkestan with concentration camps. We have the situation of Palestine that is yet unresolved. We have the situation of pretty much the entirety of the Middle East. We have the problems in Europe with right-wing politics attacking Muslims and others. We need to strategize. We need to look down the road, 20, 30, 50 years. What is it that will give rise to positive change, to more peace in the world, to more coexistence amongst people? And what is it that we can do as individuals? As well, strong foundations. To have a strong foundation in your religion. To teach your children what a strong foundation is about. A building that is established upon something weak will not last. In addition to this, to have united hearts. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold true to the rope of Allah, the Quran and the Sunnah. And do not divide amongst yourselves. To emphasize unity in a time of division. We need collective efforts. That one voice may be impactful, but 1 billion voices are much more impactful. That one person protesting may have some attention, may be spotlighted in some way, but 2 billion Muslims cannot be ignored. We are 25% of the world's population. We are 1/4 of the population of human beings today. And that is a matter of quantity. But what we want to focus on is quality. What we want to emphasize, inshallah, moving forward, is who we are as that one person, that one individual amongst four in this world who was guided to La ilaha illallah, who was blessed with this. As well, in addition to that, true wisdom, hikmah. Because wisdom is different than ilm. You can have knowledge of a matter, but if that knowledge is not utilized wisely, it won't have a great impact. We need as well beneficial knowledge. And this is why Allah commanded the Prophet ﷺ to ask for more of it. وَقُرْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Say, my Lord, increase me in knowledge. The Prophet ﷺ would pray in the morning, would make dua. اللهم إني أسألك علما نافعا. Oh Allah, I ask you for beneficial knowledge. وَرِزْقًا طَيِّبًا. Pure sustenance, pure provisions, pure rizq. وَعَمَلًا مُتَقَبَّلًا. And accepted deeds. May Allah grant us all of that and more. اللهم أمين. And all of this, all of these factors are established upon one foundation, and that is your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your connection to God, not only collectively, but you as an individual. Who are you with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in private? Your conversations with Allah, your sacrifices for Allah. What are you willing to sacrifice for a greater good? What are you willing to do for something good to happen in society? Are you willing to overcome, for example, your ego? Are you willing to overcome a major sin that you are refusing to let go of? Are you willing to overcome the use of interest, dealing with interest in society? Are you willing to overcome an addiction to intoxication or smoking or something that causes harm to the body? Are you willing to do that? And if we're looking at the world and saying, well, there are many problems in the ummah and Muslims are oppressed, what are you doing with your relationship with Allah? What are you sacrificing between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The insults, the attacks, the oppressions of Muslims is not a new experience. This is not something that is new, and it's not something that will completely disappear. And the test is also not a new test. We are urged in a time like this to respond to insults with a prophetic response. The prophetic response was not one of engaging in, for example, vigilante justice. This is not from Islam. The response to those who insult Allah, Allah tells us what in the Quran, Surah Al-An'am, Ayah 108. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَسُبُّ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ فَيَسُبُّ اللَّهَ عَدْوًا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. Do not insult the false deities or gods, whether it's currency or anything else, the false gods of those who do not worship Allah, lest they react by now insulting Allah with ignorance, meaning they don't have knowledge of the reality of the situation. أُدْعُوا إِلَىٰ سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ. Call people to the way of your Lord with wisdom and with great speech, or the best of speech. This requires us to be persevering, enduring, patient, strategizing to overcome these political, religious, societal, and social challenges. While it seems like with certain events in recent times, like one individual is spotlighted as the focal point of this discussion, this is not the reality of what we are dealing with today. And my point here is that when you see someone like a ruler, a prime minister, a president, whether it is Macron or somebody else, vilifying Islam and encouraging hatred and fueling Islamophobia, encouraging divisions in his society for political reasons because he has a very low rating in this time and they have elections coming up. When you see someone vilifying Islam and spreading division in the world and damaging peacemaking efforts that Muslims are trying to accomplish in the world between people, between different nationalities, religions, ethnicities, and so on and so forth. When you see someone like this endangering the lives of millions of Muslims who are now being attacked in France, and of course Muslims around the world, when you see this type of rhetoric and action, it is not only because of one sole individual. He is a byproduct of the age of secularism. He is a byproduct of this type of hatred towards religious communities, towards minorities. And it's not a surprise when many of these Western nations were built on and established upon and founded upon killing millions of people in the world through colonialism and imperialism all around the world. So our focal point should be beyond just one person. It is really not about one person. This is a much greater thing. This is about an idea. And this brings us to the question of the Islamic perspective on what is the freedom of expression? What does it entail in the modern world, in a peaceful so-called world, in a secular world that claims to be trying to bring people together, trying to be liberal and inclusive of all religions and backgrounds? If we look at the world today, we find obviously very clear, blatant hypocrisy and double standards when it comes to the concept of freedom of expression. As Muslims, we know that not everything is permitted as freedom of expression. Meaning what? There are some things that cause violence and harm in society, divisions in society, that would be better classified under hate speech legislation. And this is why in France and many Western countries, there is something called hate speech. There are some words you cannot say. There are some things you cannot talk about. There are some people you cannot oppose and oppress. And obviously we agree with this. There should not be hate speech in society. The question is, where is the line drawn? Who decides what hate speech is? On the website of the French government describing the freedom of expression, you find very, very explicitly a mention that there is a freedom to express whatever you want, but there are limitations to this freedom. And it lists several examples. Number one, it lists racism. It lists number two, anti-Semitism. It lists number three, anything that incites violence. It lists anything that attacks or desecrates French nationalism. Who decides where the lines are drawn? When you look at the way that people are, especially in France, people are claiming to hide behind freedom of expression, you see that ultimately there's hatred behind it. There's a lot of politics behind it. There's a lot of discrimination and racism behind it. And if certain things can be classified as hate speech, why not also a defense of the messengers of God? Not one messenger, all of the messengers of God. Why would someone want to project something disgusting and derogatory and insulting to more than 2 billion people on earth? Why would they want to project this on a government building? This is not freedom of expression. This is hate speech. This is not freedom of expression. This is inciting divisions in society and also fueling hatred against Muslims. There is a clear difference between criticizing a religion, disagreeing with a religion, disagreeing with a figure, talking academically about a matter, there's a difference between that and mockery and satire and cartoons trying to depict the messengers of God. This is not freedom of expression. And you find that recently new legislation was passed in order to ban legally, to criminalize anyone who desecrates the French flag. And this is not only in France. We see this in America in different ways. Different types of laws protecting nationalist interest. Why is that protected? And yet 2 billion Muslims in this world and many non-Muslims who agree with hate speech legislation. Why is that not protected? The reality here is that this is blatant hypocrisy. There is not an intention here to bring people together, even when those who are oppressed are trying to unite between the hearts. As Muslims, we do not condone any type of hate speech. We do not condone divisions. Obviously, we condemn any vigilante justice, any type of terrorism by individuals or by nation states. Because terrorism is not only about individuals who have nothing to do with Islam or their respective religions. Terrorism is also committed by many nation states. And that goes for every nation state that commits terrorism. In the name of what? In the name of national interest. As Muslims and as Americans, we should speak out about foreign policies that are corrupt, that are causing more deaths in the world, that are creating more factors and opportunities for people to be led politically to extremist ideologies. As Muslims, we should be the first to condemn any type of foreign policy that leads to this terrorism, because it is established upon terrorism. Terrorism has nothing to do with Islam. Terrorism has nothing to do with other religions. It is people for political reasons and for greed and other factors in their lives, trauma as well, psychological reasons that are led to certain things that as Muslims we do not agree with. This has nothing to do with the religion. And yet hundreds of mosques have been shut down. Many Muslims were already attacked and killed in France and in many other places around the world. There is not an attempt right now to protect Muslims there. There is not an attempt to bring hearts together. It is as though for political reasons, for election reasons, they are inciting violence in their own society. And they are benefiting from it politically. Muslims do not benefit. The average French, the average American does not benefit. And so when we look at this reality, we remind everyone here, when those oppressors, when people who attack God and His prophets and the religion, when they attempt to do what they're doing and they start to oppress and vilify and create hostility in the world, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَأُمْلِي لَهُمْ إِنَّ كَيْدِي مَتِينَ. Allah says, I delay them for a little while. I'm giving them respite. I'm giving them more time. But my planning is flawless. إِنَّ كَيْدِي مَتِينَ. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is worth defending by 2 billion Muslims and many non-Muslims as well in the world. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if people were to know who he was, they would fall in love with him. They would follow his message, the message from God. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if they were to study his life and what he did for society and who he was, at the very least, they might not follow him, but they would not make a mockery of his religion. They would not make a mockery of who he was, alayhi salatu wasalam. This is not respect between people. And yet, when people boycott peacefully the French economy, they go about and they say in public, you should not be doing this. This is not fair to us. This is very hurtful to us. People are saying mean things about us. Where is the freedom of expression? There is nothing wrong with a peaceful economic boycott to show our love for the Prophet ﷺ, amongst many other strategies as well. They are not mutually exclusive. Those who claim that the religion is to be insulted under freedom of expression and those who attack the prophets of God, we remember that ultimately they will be cut off. إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرُ. The one who is cut off in the books of history, the one who attacked the messenger, the one who attacked God, they don't ultimately matter. Let us focus on the ideas more than the people. Let us focus more on change in society more than on one or two individuals. The Prophet ﷺ brought for us everything we need to live in a peaceful society. And as Muslims, to bring about this change in society and in the world, in America and in France and all around the world, in order to eliminate some of this harm, and to apply the Islamic maxims properly, we need a multifaceted strategy. Very quickly, what do we need? We need to focus on policy making, locally, at the federal level, and internationally as well. Number two, we need to focus on education. What are you doing as a Muslim to educate yourself about the religion and to educate your children as well, and to educate them about politics, geopolitics, society, and psychology? Number three, raising mass awareness. Number four, focusing on international pressure. Number five, when it comes to social media, utilizing it effectively. Number six, accountability of those in positions of authority. And number seven, raising ethical leaders from our own community, raising and developing Muslim leaders to take on these causes. The end result of positive change cannot be attained if we remain silent. It cannot be changed if, as Muslims, we don't partake in anything at all. If we remain isolated, if we just ignore the world, that does not bring about positive change. مَنْ رَأَى مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ. Whoever sees any evil, immorality, wrongdoing, as a Muslim, change it with your hands. If you cannot, فَإِلَّمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ, then with your speech, with your tongue, with your writing, online, your rhetoric. فَإِلَّمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. If you cannot even do that, and most of us can, then at least hate it within your heart so that you are not desensitized to it. There are many things that we can do, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to these actions, to guide us to positive change, to utilize all of us in a positive way, to bring more peace in the world, to unite between the hearts, and to allow us to be a positive role model for the entire world. Allahumma ameen. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum fastaghfiruhu innahu wal ghafurur rahim. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. Brothers and sisters, there are things we can all do to follow this hadith, and I will conclude with this. Physical things you can do. Number one, education. Learn the religion properly. Spend time every day learning the religion. It does not stop when you graduate, when you get a job, when you get married, when you have children. As Muslims, we learn until the day that we die. Wattaqullah wa yu'allimukum Allah. Have God consciousness and seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure through this. It will enlighten your world and you will enlighten others as well, and for our children. Number two, vote. Be part of local change. If you live in a place in which you have the capacity to change something, to eliminate harm, to decrease harm, then do something about it. I am not telling you to vote for a specific person or a party or an idea. I am telling you as a Muslim that if you have the ability, a tool, a mechanism to decrease harm, then utilize it effectively, because it's not available to people all around the world. Utilize it with the intention that you're doing so for the sake of Allah. Now, a fiqhi question came up, and it's asked many times. When you vote for someone as a Muslim, whether you're voting for a Muslim or a non-Muslim, are you necessarily endorsing all of their views? Absolutely not. So if they were to do something that you disagree with as a Muslim, this is not going to go back on you in terms of accountability. If you do your research and you find, even if there are two terrible candidates in a place or a land, that they are both causing harm, but one will cause more harm than the other, do your research and try to decrease that harm as much as you can. And voting is beyond just the federal elections. Focus on what you can do at the state level as well. Do something about it. This is a physical action. Number three, raise awareness. Volunteer for causes. And make sure your children are involved and learning about the world. Islam is beyond just the rituals. The rituals are foundational. Politics is a part of Islam. Dealing with people's lives is a part of Islam. Protecting livelihood is a part of Islam. And as for your speech and your writing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by the pen, وَالْقَلَمِ وَمَا يَسْطُرُونَ. This pen, which is seen as something small and insignificant, has so much power to change minds and hearts. One pen may change the world. What about 1 billion pens? What about 2 billion Muslims who are quality Muslims, who are preaching the right thing, who are bringing solutions to society? And this is a responsibility we all have. Utilize your pen, your social media, your awareness to Muslims, non-Muslims, colleagues and others online and offline to speak what is best, to be effective, to be wise. And do not think of this as a minor blessing of Allah. Rather, it is one of the greatest blessings upon human beings. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by it. Everything that you write, consider that you will be rewarded for it or you will be sinful for it, online and offline. What you do online is magnified as well. Everything you write, write for the sake of Allah. Use this power of speech, the power of the pen, to be confident, to be strong, to change minds and hearts. and to also be protected intellectually and to protect our communities as well. And lastly, encourage others to utilize the power of the pen, the power of speech and education and knowledge and writing, the nation of Iqra, to change the world positively. The world is beyond just your desires or your job or your family or your livelihood. The world for us as Muslims is much greater than that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us proper followers of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who follow him, not just defend him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us role models for the world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring about peace and unity between the hearts. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us all who are changers for the positive in society and to forgive us for all of our sins. Allahumma ameen. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم انصر الإسلام وعز المسلمين اللهم انصر المسلمين المستضعفين في كل مكان في كل مكان في كل مكان اللهم فرج الكرب عن المسلمين في كل مكان يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم يا مقلب القلوب والأبصار ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم ارزقنا الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأقم الصلاة.